What about CA-125 in terms of its use in monitoring patients, both as they're being treated and to detect progression? How effective is it?
It's very effective. CA-125, as you know, is an antibody that's against the antigen, the OC-125 antigen, which, out of curiosity, you may not know it, but it was the 125th antigen that was tested. Dr. Bast, then at Duke, was the principal investigator involved with this. And since then, it has had a lot of uses and a lot of misuses in the clinical arena, and we've seen it be, I think, overall much more of a good thing than a bad thing, but we do see some misuses of the test. In terms of how you use it, it's not very good for screening, and there's a number of reasons why that is, but basically it's not sensitive enough and it's not specific enough. And so for those reasons, it's not very good. And in fact, if you look at stage one cancers, which is really what you want a screening test to do, is get you to a point where you could cure most of these women, it's only elevated in 50% at best. So as a screening tool, not so good. As a tool that can be used to detect recurrence, it's very effective. So for those patients who have an elevated CA-125, which somewhere between 70-80%, depending on their histology, a little less for mucinous, a little more for serous, we find that those women who then have treatment with a subsequent fall in their CA-125, who then have a rise in CA-125, the chances of them having recurrent tumor is well over 90%.
Enough to change treatment?
Absolutely. And in fact, if we look at what's actually done in the community, these patients will often go on treatment if they have subsequent rises in their CA-125. And there's about a 3-month lead time in terms of the CA-125 level going up versus what you would see on imaging or what you'll actually detect on physical exam and, of course, ahead of symptoms as well. Now, having said that, what do you do with the patient that comes in and her CA-125 level was, say, a nadir of 16, and now she's in your office and it's 25? She says, why is my CA-125 level up? What's going on here? Those patients are the longest visit of the day because I try to educate them that we have no data that says treating them immediately is going to make any difference. And so I try to encourage them to have this rechecked. Obviously, you're not going to convince them to wait 3 months, and it's probably prudent not to wait that long. But I try to get them to wait at least another month, and then we recheck it. If I see then that that trend continues to rise, certainly when it gets to triple digits, greater than 100, I will often initiate treatment in that circumstance, even though I don't have any data that says early initiation of treatment makes any difference.
What's the variation in terms of how long it takes to get there, in terms of going up to the point where you'll treat? You're looking at usually a few months, a year or two?
Well, in terms of going from just below normal up to over 100, mm-hmm. it really varies because there's some patients that have tumor that's rapidly growing, and literally within several weeks, you know, they'll come back in and their CA-125 will be 300. There's other patients, they come back in, it was 25, now it's 46, now it's 72. You know, it may take quite a few checks to get them up greater than 100.
And what's the correlation between the actual level or the rise in the level in clinical symptomatology?
Very unusual for the patient to have symptoms with relatively low levels of CA-125. So this is truly a biomarker in that it well precedes symptomatology, probably by as much as 6 months.